Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smards, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message. All right. Well, I got a word today that I want to encourage you with. I got a word that I believe is going to make a big difference in our lives if we're willing to embrace it, we're willing to allow the Spirit to help us begin to activate it in us and through us. Today, this has been a tough week for us and my family, and the Lord gave me this word Monday night, because Monday afternoon, my father, Bishop Tom, the founder of the church, who you all know and love, he suffered a stroke. Okay, but hang on, it's all good. It's God's in control. We're not going to get too fearful and too crazy, okay? Because this word is going to transform us. It's been transforming me all week. How many of us have ever been in a circumstance or a situation where all of a sudden, boom, something happens? You're like, right? You ever been there before? Well, I got a word for you today that's going to help you when that happens. He's doing good. He's talking. He's cognizant. He calls me every day nonstop. Tommy, bring my socks, bring my pajamas, bring me my shoes, my feet are cold. Tommy this, Tommy that. Calls my brother, Kevin, do this. Kevin calls my mom, Shirley. He's doing good. He's doing good. He has a lot of work to do. He has lost some strength in his left side. His arm, he can move his arms, legs. They have him standing, pivoting. He can talk. He's totally cognitive. Has a little bit of a droop on the left side, but he's doing well. We're not denying the fact that some things need to take place. We know that. But we also know that Jesus is in control. And I serve a God who can heal and restore. And so therefore, we're going to believe for total healing and restoration. Because just 2 weeks ago, we had this conversation. I want to preach again. I'm like, anytime you're ready, Bishop. You know, anytime you want, Dad, let's do this. So I believe he still has word in him. And he's got a platform still to preach from. And so we're believing for healing and restoration. And so what happened was Monday on the way home, I'm driving down by Small Boat Harbor. And I'm like, God, now what? I wasn't angry, wasn't crying, wasn't throwing my fist up in the air, you know, blaming God for this or blaming God for that. I'm like, God, now what do we do? What do we do, God? Where do we go from here? And the Lord gave me Psalm 46. Because it's a psalm that when things like this happen in life, we can grab a hold of, and we can begin to apply the principles of the Scripture in our everyday life. And with that Scripture, and with the Holy Spirit, and with our faith in who Jesus is, we're going to make it through to the other side. We're going to see beyond the circumstance. We're going to see beyond the situation in front of us to the other side, to the healing, to the breakthrough, to wherever God wants to take us. And so I want to share a message today, which I have entitled, Stay Strong. Can you say that? Stay strong. Because we have to stay strong in crazy times. That's the reality of it. We have to stay strong in times that come up like this, when we look before us or there's something going on in our life. And so today's message, we're taking just a week or so off of learning to be good stewards, and we're going to learn to be strong today. And I want to read to you from the Bible. If you have your word, you can turn there to Psalm 46. Mike, is this microphone okay? Are we all set with that? Okay. So, Psalm 46. I'm going to read to you from the Modern English Version. It is on the screens for those of you who need it from there. But this is what the Lord gave me to share with you, actually. It just wasn't for me. It was for you, too. And I knew that because the Lord said, share it. Because there's other people and circumstances and situations that can trust in the Word. Can trust in who He is and what He can do. And I love the Scripture. It says this. I'm going to read it like as if I'm reading it to me, the first part of this. God is my refuge. The greatest thing is God is your refuge, because the word says God is our refuge. God is my refuge. He's my strength. He is a well-proven help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Fear can take us down wrong paths. You know that, right? And fear is false evidences that seem to appear real, that can suck us away from all that God wants to do. And then fear can bring us to doubt, and doubt can bring us to unbelief. And then all of a sudden, we're just wandering aimlessly, going, what's going on? But therefore, I and we will not fear, though the earth may be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and foam through the mountain, though the mountains shake with its swelling. See, when all this craziness is going on around us, and it looks like it's the end of the world, it looks like it's the end of everything, everything's being destroyed, or looks like it's being destroyed, I will not fear, because God is my refuge, God is my strength, God is my help in present time. Goes on and says, there is a river whose streams made glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her in the early dawn. The nations roared and the kingdoms were moved. His voice, he uttered his voice and the earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come see the works of the Lord, who makes desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts off the spear, and he burns the chariot in the fire. And verse says, be still and know that I am God. God is saying to us, be still and know that he is God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Father, thank you for your word. Let it become truth and reality and bring revelation knowledge to us through it this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of God today. So what I just read to you was a psalm written by the sons of Korah in a time where the situations seemed to be unstable and insecure. See, the psalm is an expression of trust and confidence in God. See, when you look at the psalm, we realize that it was written in the context of chaos, of troublesome times, of unparalleled uncertainty. How many of us know even in the world, in the culture today, it's like that, right? In the world right outside these 8 or 12 doors getting in this building, it's like that out there, isn't it? If you don't believe me, just go onto the internet. Just throw on TV. Just watch the news for 10 minutes. So this word not only is for us individually, but it could also be for us as a nation and as a people or as a town or as a city, as a body of believers here in church. And so it was written in these times. It was written with the nation of Israel in mind, but understand this. This word applies for us today. Everything that's spoken in that psalm that I read to you is for today as well. It's for you and I. We just have to grab hold of it. You know, I liken it to a father who, or a mother who wants to wrap their arms around and hug their child and pull them in. See, the problem is many of us don't like to be hugged. We don't like to be hugged. We get all like weird. Now, I understand now with everything going on, let's not be hugging everybody right now. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's your family members and you don't have that 6-foot distance. You can hug each other. But we don't like to be hugged. But we take that same mindset when it comes to the things of God and God's presence in our lives. We don't want God to even hug us. When the reality is God wants to hug you. God wants to pull you in close. God wants to comfort you. God wants to encourage you. God wants to pamper you. God wants to give you all that a father could give a child. One of our families this morning, our new first-time family, they had their first baby, was it at the 8:15 service. And it was beautiful to see Jen and Mark and the baby. And I like it. You don't take that baby, and she's not walking around like this with that baby, is she? No. She takes that baby, and she pulls that baby in, and he coddles that baby and holds that baby in. And that's what God wants to do, especially in times like this. See, because when we look at the Scripture, he makes some very definitive statements about who he is. And those statements define his character. They define his attributes that you and I can grab a hold of, that we can benefit from, right? Who loves to be benefited from stuff, right? Right? You all don't. No, stop it. When you get a new job, the first thing you want to know, what are my benefits? What's in it for me? What's my 401 look like? You know, I work for the arena. Do I get free tickets to the game? You know, we love benefits, don't we? Well, if I buy from you, why if I don't go over here and buy from them? What are you going to give me that they're not going to give me? Right? You know what I mean? So we're going to look, and this is what God's saying in the Word here. If we're going to stay strong and be confident, we need to realize what we have in God. Because what I have in my flesh and my own strength is going to wear away. It's going to fade away. It's going to get tired. It's going to wear out. But in God, it's a whole nother ball game. And so when I look at the Scripture, let me say this. We can stay strong and be confident because God is for us. When we look at what He declares, He says this. He says, I am your refuge. Right there in verse 1, 2, and 3. He says, I'm your refuge. In other words, He's the place when times seem to be in turmoil where I will find peace. He's the place where I will find rest. He's a hiding place or a place of shelter in times of danger or in times of uncertainty. So right off the bat, God says, listen, when everything seems to be chaotic and you seem to be uneasy, you seem to be anxious, you seem to be fearful, you seem to be all that, you're tired, you're weak, in me, in my presence, when you surrender and you allow me to hug you and cuddle you and pull you closer, I will be your place of refuge, a place of peace. See, when you look at the word refuge, it's a place of trust, which literally means to flee to. So we must flee to God and not away from God. Do you know sometimes in uncertainties we run from God? We get nervous. We get scared. I see it all the time. People, something happens or something's going on, and instead of running to their Word, instead of running and getting on their knees to pray, instead of getting involved in a church, what they do is they disconnect from everybody and everything and they run away. When God says, I'm your refuge, run and flee to me. Because when you come to me and you sit in my presence, you'll find rest. So He's telling me to be strong and to stay confident. In Him, I'm going to find my refuge. And then He says, you're going to find strength. Strength. God is going to give us the ability and the power to keep moving forward. Not by what I can do in the physical, but what He can do in the spiritual as He pours into me, which will translate to me doing what I need to do here on earth. It's what He does. He protects me. I find rest and peace, but while in the rest and peace, He strengthens me to get through another day, to take another step forward. When we're talking about strength, we need to realize that strength implies that we can rely on His might when we feel weak and defenseless. Anyone ever feel defenseless before? Right? You feel weak, you feel tired, the circumstance, the situation, all of a sudden that roadblock that popped up has seemed to suck everything out of you. Well, when you're at that point, we need to realize in Jesus, in God, there's strength. He infuses us with His power, with His Spirit. That's what the Word's talking about. And what I love about God is that He's abundantly available to us. See, I serve a God of abundance. Well, let me be real here for a second, all right? It drives me crazy when people look at God and talk about God he's a miser. He's not a God of abundance, and you know we should go without and not have anything. And well, if you read throughout the Scriptures, God is a God of abundance, and if He's a God of abundance, and I need strength, well, He has an abundance of strength. And as a child, He's going to give me what is needed to get through that particular day or that particular moment. And so we need to realize that. God is not taking strength from us. God is putting strength into us. God is not, making us feel anxious and nervous. No, God is bringing peace and tranquility into our lives. See, He's our strength. And He's right there, right now, at any moment of our lives. We need to know that it's His strength that He gives us, that gives us the ability to endure any type of hardship as we continually serve Him. It's His strength that gives us the ability to come against spiritual warfare, spiritual battles. It's His strength that gives us the ability to resist temptation. It's His strength that gives us the ability to bear any persecution that we may be bearing. It's His strength that gives us the ability to bear any weight that seems to be pushing onto us and overtaking us. It's His strength. We need to understand that. He's the source of the strength that we need. He's the refuge and He's the strength. But then He declares this. He says, and I'm also your help when you're in trouble. Now, I know none of you, because y'all holy. Y'all been saved and sanctified, filled with the Ghost since you've been about like 5. So in your teenage years, you've never prayed this prayer. After you came home early because you got driven home by 5-0. And your parents weren't up. 5-0 was the police, for those of you who don't know that. And your parents are sleeping already, but you got dropped off at the house. And you're laying in bed because all of a sudden your mind starts to go, I have to have a conversation in the morning with my parents. And I don't know how this is going to go. So it's one last ditch effort. You're like, oh, Lord, help. But you always throw this line in there. I promise that I will never. And then you get super spiritual, and you're like, you get like really, and then you go like, ever, 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 O Holy One of Israel, the one whom I serve uncompromised, except for that 10 minutes of being a lunatic or whatever. And we cry out for help, right, in those moments. But the reality is, God wants to help all the time. When we mess up like that, now we'll be accountable still for, you know, you know what I'm saying, but he wants to help. He wants to be a part of our lives. He doesn't want to be on the outside looking in, but he says, I am your help, which means God will give us an assistance, and the assistance is quick, and it's abundant, and it's right now. See, God has proved himself from the beginning of time to help his people, to help his children. We just have to have the faith to believe that God will intervene. We have to have the faith to stand on God's promises and on God's word, that what he says will come to pass. Now, it can be difficult at times because of maybe what we're in the middle of or what's happening around us, but that doesn't take away the truth that God is our refuge, God is our strength, and God wants to help. He's available right there. Did you ever go somewhere and you push the button for help and no one comes? Your pastor was a lunatic the other day in the store. I was. I pushed the button 4 times. 4 times. I got to the point where I just stood there. All I wanted was some razors. Why are the razors on lockdown? Why are they like behind 4 inches of glass with locks on them? Why? I don't understand that. They're just razors in a package. I don't get it. But I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. I got to the point where I went to 2 people working and said, hey, can I get some help? They're like, oh, I don't have the key. Let me go find someone for you. That one disappears. Doesn't come back. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm getting older up in here. So I got someone else. Well, hang on. I got to get the person with the key. I wanted to say, why don't you have a key? But Jesus is teaching me patience. Why don't you have a key to open this up? I want 8 razors. That's all I want. I promise I will pay for them at the checkout. You can walk up there with me if you want to. But unlike those, well, you never had that happen. I encourage you, try it, see what it feels like. Because then you're going to know that unlike that, God wants to help immediately. God wants to be there now, because that's who he is. He's refuge, he's strength, and he's help in trouble. And because of that, when I'm facing difficult situations, I do not have to live with the spirit of fear trying to overtake me. I do not have to live with fear. Because I said fear is just many times false evidences that appear real. The psalmist is telling us that our security is in God. Our refuge is in God. Our strength is in God. Our help is in God. When we feel helpless, we should not run from God. We should run to God. We should run not from God, but we should run to God. When you don't have an answer, run to God. When you feel helpless, run to God. When you're in the midst of some chaotic whatever, run to God. When you're experiencing life so pleasant and joyful and you're blessed beyond blessed, you're Fred Hammond, you're better than blessed in the midnight hour because God's been pouring out stuff on you, run to God. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He will help you stay strong. See, because fear wants to creep in, and it wants to affect your faith. Y'all know what faith is, right? Faith is trust. Faith is belief in God. Faith, according to the Word, is the substance of things hoped for, of the evidence of things not seen yet. See, I'm believing for total restoration. I don't see it yet. I don't see Bishop walking through the door right now. Oh, but my faith says he will. My faith in Jesus says that he's going to be Bishop's refuge, his strength, his place of rest, his encourager, where he will abundantly pour out on his life. See, my faith says that. I don't physically see it, but because I trust in who God is, because I trust in the Word of God, because I trust from past experiences of how faithful God has been, I'm going to stay strong in my faith. I love what the Passion Translation says. It says, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. We're just having sound difficulties, so that's all he's doing. Our sound guy is going, everyone's looking, he's going, my mic seems to be breaking up, and so he's going to go fix that. So you can hear this amazing voice when I end in song with Christian later, as he plays and I sing. So thank you, brother. And then I'm going to package it as a CD. I'm going to sell it in the atrium. And we're going to do a fundraiser. And we're going to give the money away to something. So we'll use it for something. So fear wants to... You guys have no idea how I long to lead worship one day. I was amazing in Sunday school, I could tell you that. Leading them old Sunday school songs. But see, if I'm going to stay strong, what we need to know is that I have to stay strong. When we stay strong and confident, we need to know that God's presence is with us. God has not abandoned us. I didn't have that conversation in the car. God, where were you at 12 o'clock when Bishop was talking to us on the phone and we knew something? Why, where were you, God? God's all around. His presence is there. And I know that, and because I know that he's all around us, it helps me stay strong and confident in tough times. See, when I read to you in verse 4, it talked about the river of God. How many of you are old Pentecostal charismatic renewal people from the 90s and 2000s? Remember those days? Remember those days? The river of God? The river, lay in the river? In other words, lay all over the carpet and let God do what God wanted to do, which God did a great work in people. I don't discount that at all. But we also then, once we're laying in the river, there comes a time to get out of the river and release what was in you. But God says in these times that are tough, to stay strong is we got to get back in the river. The river is the place where God's grace flows. It's the place where God's mercy flows. It's the place where God's inspiration flows. It's the place where God's, you know, God's encouragement flows. It's the place where God's joy flows. It's the place where the Spirit of God is moving and flowing. And we can look at a river or we can get in the river. We can look at someone being engulfed in the presence of God or we can join and get engulfed with the presence of God. And this passage is talking about the river of God. It's the place of gladness. It's the place where God begins to move from the throne room and peels back the heavens. And all of a sudden, the heavens become evident in the earthly realm. And as his Spirit's moving, then we're engaging in that Spirit move. It's important for us to know that. The Holy Spirit's not a bad thing. So many people say, ah, oh, the Holy Spirit's bad, it's great. No. Can people misuse it? Absolutely. But the Spirit of God is a promise given to us to benefit, to grow our lives, to help us in these tough times. We have to get in the presence and in the Spirit of God. Know that with God being near us, look what he said. Though the earth may be moved, though the mountains may be shaken, though all may fall, God is never moved. God is never shaken, and God will never fall. You need to know that. Though everything else around us seems to be perishing, God will not perish. Though everything else may seem to be shaken and going, you know, in the wrong direction, God still is on the throne. God is still strong. God is still in control of everything. We need to understand that. We just got to get in the river and let that presence overtake us as well. And so we need to know that the nearness of God is there. He's in everything. And then look at the power of what it says. It says, he uttered his voice and the earth melted. Look how powerful God is. What we need to ask God is to do is, God, speak a word into this situation. Speak your word into this circumstance, into this situation, into this chaos, into this unknown thing. Because remember, God spoke the earth into existence, didn't he? He spoke it into existence. And then when we jump to the New Testament, we see Jesus. What did Jesus do multiple times? Be healed. Stretch your hand forth. Be healed. Oh, dead child, be healed. Rise up. Lazarus, come from the grave. He spoke a word, and God the Father moved from the heavens into the earthly realm and made a huge difference in culture, right? So my prayer is, God, speak a word from the heavens into the earthly realm, and God, let your will be done and let your word move that circumstance, deal with that situation in the way you see fit. We got to ask God to speak a word into the situation. God, God, I'm broke. God, speak a word into that situation. God, my marriage is a mess. It's terrible. God, speak a word of healing and wholeness and restoration. God, my kids are like the devil. God, speak a word into them. I don't mean like the, y'all got crazy on me there. Not like the real devil, just acting crazy. Y'all got teenagers? Father, we pray for them right now in Jesus' name. Listen, it's not easy growing up in today's culture. You know that, right? I mean, there's stuff that you and I never had to deal with. Social media. Oh my gosh, right? How about social media? Somebody, you wear the wrong thing to school, a person takes a picture of it, posts it, all of a sudden it goes viral because they made a negative comment on it and everything is really funny. Now that person's shamed. Now every day they go back to their school of 500 kids. We didn't have that. See, so God, speak a word into our children. Just as you spoke a word here, right? Because he's powerful enough to do that. He is so powerful to do that. And then it says, you know, he's with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Romans 8:39 says this, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. The circumstances that we're in, the situations that are around us, nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. It may not be easy, but there won't be separation because God loves you. How do we know that? Because look at the circumstance. Well, just because God isn't meeting every... Well, how am I going to word this? Just because the shopping list that I took to God, everything has not been met yet on that list, does not mean that God doesn't love me. And if I don't get anything on the list, it doesn't mean God doesn't love me. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why I know God loves me? Because of that cross right there. God loves me so much that he knew that when I left this earthly vessel, he wanted to spend eternity with me. He wanted me to be with him and not separated from him. And so what he did was he sent Jesus to die on the cross. And at one point, we make that exception of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So it's not about me getting or not getting. It's about knowing that my eternity is secure in God. That's beautiful. That's amazing to know. And so here it is. He is with us. He is with us. I think of Matthew, Emmanuel. God is with us. Right? So that means today, when you go home and do whatever you're going to do, God will be with you. Now, when you go to work tomorrow, God will be with you. When you're driving on the 33 at 7:30 a.m., God will be with you. Remember that. When you go shopping today, God will be with you. God is with us right now. His Spirit is here. His presence is here. That's why I can stand here and be strong. Because God is with me. Because God is my strength. Because God is my refuge. Because God is my help in trouble. That's why I can stand here and be strong in the way I am. Because it's God, it's not me. Because in my flesh, I am so weak, it's not even funny. Cry. I cry all the time. I don't understand why. God's doing something. I just find myself crying. It's weird. It used to only be during Hallmark movies, but now it's like all the time. It's weird. But it is what it is. Maybe God's doing something through it, and so I'm going to receive it. You know, it gets really weird with my kids who are like in their 20s, their friends are over, and I'm like, hey, man, nice to meet you. And they're like, Hallmark, Dad, you don't get it. Yeah, but it's, God's doing something. So listen, we can be strong, and I'm going to get close to wrapping this up here. We can be strong and confident because God asks us to be still. Well, that's weird. We could be strong in being still? Absolutely. Because when we understand what he was saying, you'll realize that we can be strong and confident. See, we may be weak, but he is strong, right? 2 Corinthians, I believe chapter 12 talks about that. Or chapter 4, one of the two. It's in Corinthians. But look what verse 10 says. Verse 10 said that, be still and know that I am God. See, the Lord is speaking to us, and he's talking from a position of his sovereign rule. And what it means when he says to be still, it says to cast down and to fall. In other words, this was written that soldiers would drop their weapons. We have to learn to drop and let go of what we're trying to control. We have to drop and stop trying to control everything. Drop and stand and be still. See, so we drop and we cast off all those things that we're trying to control because we're to cease fighting the battle on our own with our own weapons and our own ideas and our own philosophies. And we're to let God fight the battle for us and stand at his side as he wars on our behalf. There's a difference, right? Now, I can go into a circumstance or a situation and try to manhandle it. I could try to do everything. I could go today and be with Bishop and grab his arm and, you know, and like, you got to get this thing stronger and start, you know, doing all those crazy things, pick him up out of bed. You got this, you know, you got this. Let's go. And start, you know, or I could walk in, lay my hand on his shoulder or his head like I always do, give him a kiss on the forehead, and like I do before I leave, Father, God, we pray healing. We seek you for a response right now. God, you're in control. We are not in control, but you are. Do you see where I'm going with this? I take my hands off of it, and I let God control it. And that's what it's talking about. So we drop it because he's saying that he is God. He is God. It's letting our hands fall at our sides, and we leave all the matters to God. It's not just a moment of being silent and standing there, but it's relinquishing and letting him be in control. And so how do we do? So I shared all that to tell you these four quick things to help you right now. Right now, to help you today, where you're at. I've been using these all week. These four things I've been using all week. And man, they're helping. And God showed them to me. As I was praying and reading, they were revealed to me. And the first thing is, if we're going to stay strong, is we need to stop living in denial. Well, what do you mean? We need to stop denying if there's an issue or there's not an issue. Sometimes we try to pretend there's not something happening. And we live in denial saying, well, that's really not happening, hoping that it goes away. It just doesn't magically disappear. We have to acknowledge that there's a situation, there's something happening, there's something going on around me. That's the first step. We have to learn to not live in denial, because what happens is when we live in denial, we get so fixated on it not being there, it takes us down a whole nother road. So the reality is we may be in a circumstance, we may be in a situation, something may have popped up, okay, we know that. But now what? Well, we don't deny it. We don't give it full credence in the sense where we worship it. But then we do the second step. We take our eyes off the situation and the circumstance, and we fix them on Jesus. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, well, verse 1. It says, let us also lay aside every weight. How many of us know that when we're in the midst of a battle, it's a weight? It can pull us down. It can take our focus. It takes our, we're constantly thinking about it. That's why I said we have to acknowledge it, but we can't stay fixated on it. But what it says is that we take the weight and we set it aside. We set it aside, and then it says this. We run the race that's set before us as believers. Ready? Here you go. Verse 2. Let us look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. So I'm not fixated on the issue or the circumstance where I'm so consumed that that's all I think about, that's all I talk about, that's all I eat, sleep, and breathe. No, I realize it's there, but I realize that Jesus is my refuge, my strength, and my present help. I realize that he's with me, he has not forsaken me, he's near to me. I realize that I'm not going to let fear settle in and cause any issues with my faith, but I'm going to realize it's there, I'm going to acknowledge that there needs to be help by God, and so I fix my eyes on Jesus. What are your eyes fixated on today? Are they on Jesus or on the thing? What are they fixated on? Jesus or the circumstance? Jesus or the battle? Jesus or whatever it may be? We're to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? Once my eyes are fixated on Jesus, what I need to do then is I need to guard my heart. And I need to guard my mind. Why? Why? Because there's this guy in the Bible, and his name is Satan, Lucifer, the devil. And you know what? He's got a job to do. It's to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's the author of confusion. He's the greatest liar known to mankind. And if our hearts are not guarded and our minds are not guarded with the things of God, what happens is he comes in, he begins to sow those seeds of lies, of doubt, of negativity, and all of a sudden it affects us. It'll take a half-truth, we'll take part of the scripture and twist it to make us think it's something else. But if we're guarded, if we have the fences up around our heart and around our mind, it's going to make a huge difference. See, that's his job. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. But here's what the Bible says. Even the Bible says it in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Now, you don't have to, like, go buy, like, a bulletproof vest or something and put it over that. I'm not talking about that. You got to guard it, though. You got to watch what comes in, what you allow to come in, what you allow to receive, what you allow to believe to be truth if it's not truth. You got to check it against the Word of God. And what Solomon's referring to is he's talking about, you know, the inner core of who we are. What are we allowing to come in? We have to guard it, making sure that it's not the lies of the enemy trying to pull us away from God. See, it's important for us to know that. We know that Romans talks about renewing of our mind, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We'll renew it by the Word of God. So we're not putting and allowing Satan to put lies in, but we're putting the Word in. We're putting God's promises in. We're putting God's, you know, declarations in as we renew the mind and as we renew and guard the heart. You know, the Bible tells us throughout Proverbs and other things that, you know, tells us that often, you know, our thoughts will dictate who we become. Who we become. We have to change the thinking. We have to guard the heart. Here's what Paul instructs us to do. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What he's really saying is, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, well, Jesus is true. Whatever is noble, Jesus is noble. Whatever is right, Jesus is always right. Whatever is pure, Jesus is holy and pure. Whatever is lovely, Jesus is lovely. Whatever is admirable, Jesus is admirable. Whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, Jesus is both excellent and praiseworthy. Think about such things. Think about such things. So I'm thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about the Word. I'm thinking about the Father. I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking about the promises and the principles that are in the Word of God. I'm not denying what's happening, but I'm not fixated on the problem or the situation. I remove my eyes, that weight that can take me down the wrong road, and I fixated them on Jesus, and I look to Jesus. I look to the cross. I look to all that He is for what is needed to help me stay strong, to get me to the other side. Y'all getting something? Yes. Practical. It's practical. We just have to do it. And then this is the last one, is this. We have to start praying with authority. We have to pray with authority. Church, we have to pray with authority. We can't be wimpy prayer people. Really, you know, we can't be. Oh, Lord, just bless me today. Really? Really? We gotta grab the bull by the horns. We gotta start praying. We gotta pray. We gotta intercede. We gotta pray in the Spirit. We got to pray, but we got to pray with some authority. And the way we pray with authority is when you know who God is, you pray a little different than when you don't know who God is. See, when I didn't really know Jesus and I was asked to pray, it was wimpy. Oh, Lord, you know, because I was timid, I was weak, I didn't know what to say. I was afraid if I said something wrong, I might offend somebody, might say something totally out there that's not even true or in the Bible. But when you know who God is, you pray different. God, your word says you're mighty. And this situation needs a mighty move of you right now, God. God, your word says that you are love and full of compassion. And God, I need that to be poured out in this situation right now. And God, I'm declaring who you are because this is your character. And do you see the difference? Now, look, God, I think someone told me one time that you're love. I'm not really sure on that, but if you are, see the difference? I'm not even sure. But when you know that you know, you pray different. And you pray with authority. But let me take it a step further. Not only when you know God, but you got to know the promises and what the Word says. You got to know what the Word says. You can't be praying contrary to what the Word declares. Right? So when we pray with authority, we're praying because we know who God is. We know that God's eternal. We know that God's caring. That this is all Scripture. That God's good. That nothing is too hard for Him. It says it right there in Jeremiah. We know that God is perfect, that He's the only true God. We know that God does not delight in wickedness. This is right in the Word. So I know all about God. He's mighty. He's rich in mercy. He's love. He's full of grace and compassion. He is full of favor. This is all about who He is. So I know who He is, but then I know the promises and I know the Word of God. And so I think about the situation and I go to the Word regarding that situation. And I pray what the Word says. How many of us know that there's life in blood? Our lifeline is part of the blood, right? If we removed all the blood from my body, I'll see you in glory land, okay? No, I'm being very serious. I'll see you in glory land because there's life in the blood. Well, there's life in the blood of Jesus Christ as well, right? And so, but the Bible tells us that it's the blood of Christ that brings healing and wholeness, that his the stripes on his back, when they were there and the blood ran down, because of the blood, there's opportunity for healing and wholeness and restoration. So I know God is merciful. I know God is a great God. I know that God is a God that heals and restores. I know that God is a God of love, mercy, compassion. I know all those things I read to you and many more. But now I know the scripture declares that in the blood of Jesus Christ is life. And in that lifeline is healing and wholeness. And so now I look at a situation that someone might be sick. See, we can believe, church, we can believe for a cold, right? Oh, you got a cold, let me pray for you. Oh, Jesus. But someone says, hey, I think I have cancer. Whoa. I'm okay at the cold or the fever praying, but I don't know. Because it's the same God that's healing the cold that can heal the cancer. It's the same God that can heal the marriage that can bring back the wayward child. We need to have the same look of who God is. And so I know there's life in the blood. So now I know there's a situation. So it's like, God, Lord, you are a mighty God. And your word declares that in your blood is healing and wholeness. And so I appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for Sally, who now we just found out has COVID-19. And Father, I declare health and wholeness. I declare that the blood of Jesus would clear her lungs, that Father, her breathing would be perfect, that you would break. Do you see the difference in prayer? I don't know who Sally is. That was just a name, but I'm just saying. No, I just want to let you know, because I don't want anyone to say, oh my God, there's a Sally in church. No, it's just a name I just threw out there that first came to my mind. But you see the difference in prayer? I'm praying because I know who God is, and I'm praying because I know what the Word of God says. So therefore, I'm praying with authority. I'm not guessing. Will he? Won't he? Well, does his Word say it? Does his Word not say it? See, that will help us. So I'm not going to be living in denial. I'm going to fix all that I am, my eyes and everything on Jesus. I'm going to guard my heart and my mind, and I'm going to pray with authority. And when I begin to do that, can I be honest with you? This week, I'm good. Because I know Bishop's is in the control of God. Does it bother you? Yeah, it does. It's my daddy. Of course it does. I want to see him like that. But at the same time, I know who his Savior is. Because when I set his tray of food down, which we all need to pray for hospitals and their food system too. Oh, my Lord. I set that tray of food down. I opened it up. The first thing he did, Father, I thank you. No hesitation before he ate. And he fed himself and everything. It's all good. Why? Because, see, the Lord brought this to me. And brought back remembrance some of this on Monday night coming home along Small Boat Harbor. Normally praying for a new boat or a boat. Now I'm just asking God, now what? And God's like Psalm 46. All that you need is right there. All that anyone needs on Sunday is right there. I'm their refuge, I'm their strength, I'm their help. All they need to do is don't fixate on the problem or the circumstance. Stop denying that there's something that's there. Be honest about it. Look to me. Guard your heart and your mind from the enemy, because they're going to pull you off and tell you God can't heal, God can't restore, God doesn't love you, you're too this, you're too that. But when we're guarded hearts and guarded minds, knowing what the Word of God says, we realize the lie, and fear can't settle in, because if fear sets in, it can lead to doubt. Doubt can lead to unbelief, and unbelief can have you walking away from Jesus. And so we realize that when our hearts are guarded and our minds are guarded, man, we're moving forward. And then we look at the circumstance, we look at the situation, and we pray. We pray. We don't talk about prayer. We don't think about praying. We pray. We pray. And if someone asks you to pray for them, please pray for them. Don't say, oh, I'll pray for you, brother, and not pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. And so that's what the Lord shared with me, that he wanted me to share with you today. Because many of us are in circumstances and situations, maybe not like this, but whatever you're going through, God's there to help. He's there to help. Christian, you can come up. So, who needs prayer for that? Who's in a situation right now? Raise your hand up real quick. 1, 2, 3, all across the house. Okay, perfect. Well, we're going to pray today. For that, we're going to pray for a miracle. We're going to pray for a supernatural outpouring in your life today. We're going to pray that God does something great, that God heals, restores, revives, renews, rectifies a wrong, opens up a window of opportunity. Whatever it is, we're going to pray for God. It's a great move. How's that sound? Let's stand up to our feet real quick. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Go ahead. Here we go. Lord, we come to you as your sons and daughters. And Father, we stand here today. Many of us have a need. Many of us need to stay strong. There's something going on. The sons of Korah wrote this with a chaotic time happening. Father, we too may be in the midst of that. And so we seek you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the great I am. Father, the one who heals and restores. We look to you, God, our Lord and Savior, King of Kings. And God, I declare and I ask this day for an outpouring of your Spirit. Father, I ask that this day lives would be touched. I ask, Father, and I declare a supernatural outpouring from the heavenlies to the earthlies right now in Jesus' name. Father, that your blood would be poured over those circumstances and situation where healing needs to take place. Father, I pray that your abundance would fill the pockets of those who are financially strapped at this time. Father, every broken relationship, Father, we speak life to. Father, we speak reconciliation to. Father, I declare that this day would be a day of supernatural outpouring, God, where you would get the glory. Father, let us never forget that you are our refuge, you are our strength, and you are here to help. You are here to help. So, Father, whatever the situation may be, whatever the circumstance may be, I ask, God, that you would intervene. You would intervene right now. Right now, God. Right now. Begin to move, Father, like never before. Show yourself, Lord. Show yourself, Lord. Show yourself to them. Show yourself, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Father, I pray for the individuals that have been consumed with fear and anxiety. And even today it was brought to their attention that unbelief has been setting in. Father, we thank you that you've brought that to their attention this day. Father, I pray that you continue to help them grow their faith in you, that they have the ability to remove their eyes from the circumstance, or even from what's happening in our own culture, in our own towns and cities, and focus in on you, Jesus. We come against the spirit of doubt, of fear, of anxiety, of worry. Father, I declare peace and joy. Lord, I declare that your spirit would consume their homes at night when their mind begins to wander. That your Holy Spirit would guard their mind and their hearts from the lies of the enemy this day. Oh God, we love you. We love knowing that we can come before you with any need, and you hear our requests. Father, a divine move this day in your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Psalm 46. Make it a point to read it through a few times this week. Remember, know that there may be something happening, but fix your eyes not on that, on God. Guard your heart and mind, and pray. Pray. Let me challenge you, fast. Remove something fasting food for some people is easy, but man, you can't put the internet down. Fast the internet too, and give God time and see what happens. Seek the face of God in the midst of what's going on, because he's gonna give you the ability to stay strong, amen? Today is Mission Sunday. If many of you see the socks on both sides of the platform, we have a ministry, we call them the Mat Ladies. There are a bunch of ladies that sew mats together in the back in our cafe on Mondays. They make mats out of plastic bags, the different shopping bags from the stores that we no longer can get. So we're gonna figure out how we're gonna help the homeless. And they make these mats and they give them to the homeless when it gets cold, because it's a barrier between the cold ground and their bodies. And this year they really felt they needed to do a little bit more, and we wanted to give them socks as well. How many of us know that in the middle of the night our feet get cold in our nice warm comfy beds, right? Wrapped up with some blankets. Well, if you're laying on a street corner, under a viaduct, or in a doorway somewhere, you can get real cold real quick. And so we've been bringing socks in. Maybe you forgot today was Mission Sunday. It's never too late to bring me socks to make sure that it gets to our mat ladies, to get to those who are in great need. You can drop them off during the week. Just call ahead of time. Our hours are a little bit different with the way COVID's been going and stuff, to make sure that we're here. We're here full days on Mondays and Wednesdays, and then sporadic times during Tuesdays and Thursdays. But thank you for donating and helping out those who are in great need. It doesn't go unnoticed or unforgotten. It makes a big difference. And if we all just make a little bit of a difference together, we can make a big difference. Amen? And so today is Mission Sunday, so I want to pray for our offering. I will pray for anyone who has prayer after service regarding anything else, maybe today's message or something else. I'd love to pray for you for that. But thank you for coming. Let's pray for our offering. And the offering bowls are in the back. On your way out, you can just drop it into the bowl. So, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your anointing and your presence that has been here. Lord, you've been talking to us the past few weeks about stewardship. And part of stewardship is realizing that we own nothing and everything is yours. We're just called to manage it and to make sure that it's being utilized properly. And part of being a steward is dealing with our finances. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, you've blessed us with finances, with money. And God, part of that is knowing that there's a tithe that we take out of it, a tenth of what you bless us with to bring back to the storehouse to continue to build the kingdom of God. So as you're the great provider, we first say thank you for all that you've done. And now we say, Lord, receive our tithes and offering as an act of worship, that we love you so much, God, that we'll continue to do as your word says. We will love you, worship you, we'll honor you with all that we have. And so, God, I pray a blessing upon the offering today, the regular tithes and offerings, as well as our missions offering this morning. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to give away socks and mats and to the various people who are needing it at this time as they look for places to live. And so, God, I pray that you would bring a blessing upon it all this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Sunday school will be open again next week. It's the first and third Sunday. Hey, good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning into today's service. I hope that the worship and the word really spoke life to you and encourage you to keep moving forward. You know, here at Southtowns, we love to pray for people. And so on our website, there's a prayer request tab where you can give us your prayer request and know that our pastoral staff and our leadership team will be praying for you and all your needs, whether it's individually or your family or even a friend. And so we encourage you to do that. You know, a lot of people ask, Pastor, how can I get more involved at Southtowns, even though I may not attend or I attend frequently or I live in another state? I say two things. I ask you to pray for our ministry, that God's hand would continue to move and we'd be able to make a giant impact in our community, continually giving life in every aspect that we can. And also, there are people who want to become financial partners. That's very simple. Right on our website, there's a Donate Now tab where you can click on that and you can donate funds to help us continue to grow the kingdom of God here in the Hamburg region. And so once again, thank you so much for being a part of today's service. And I look forward to possibly meeting you live when you're here with us on a Sunday morning, either at our 8:15 service or our 10 o'clock service. You have a wonderful week. God bless you, and I hope to see you soon.